About a month ago, Denise and I were in North America, and we were touring through America and Canada, and we went to New York. A lot of my family, my brother, my sister, a lot of our families, we went over there to have a family reunion with our cousins, and I got to be with my aunt, who is the only one left of her generation, and she's 96. And she was still telling me what I should do with my life. No problem to her. But as we were in New York, we said we'd do a tour. And we went on one of these bus tours. And it was a really hot day. And I'm not great with heat. And we were upstairs, on the upstairs of the open bus. The sun was beating down. It was really hot. And we were going through Times Square. And honestly, there were so many skyscrapers, it kind of got boring to me anyway. But I closed my eyes and I heard this word, you are a vessel. And sparking from that is the word today. So I want to talk about a vessel. And I brought along as an illustration, this is my water vessel, my water container. About 4 or 5 times a day, I go to the tap and I will fill my water vessel so that I can drink water. And the truth is, if you and I don't have any water coming into our bodies, what happens?
Dehydrate.
You dehydrate, and then what happens after that?
You die.
You die. You die. So if we don't have water, we dehydrate and we die. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. If we don't drink spiritually, if we're not filled spiritually, we will spiritually die. Can I just say, you know, the Bible encourages us to count our blessings. Isn't it great? We live in a country where we can go to the tap, or the faucet as they call it in North America, and we can fill our water vessels with clean water for free, as much as we want.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people on this planet have no access to clean water? Let's count our blessings and say thank you, Lord. Can we say thank you, Lord, at 1, 2, 3 when I count, just to count and thank God as we count that blessing? Are you up for it?
Yes.
Because we're like spoiled children sometimes. We take it for granted. Praise God that we have clean water and he gives it to us for free. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's try that one more time. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. We pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move through this word. Make it alive and let it cut through whatever needs to be cut through in our hearts. I pray the same for those watching on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or listening on podcast. Let the word cross over into everyone's experience. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. So, let me go right into the beginning. I want to do a bit of teaching and a bit of preaching. Is that okay?
Yes.
There's a bit of a difference, but I'm going to do both. Let me quote something fundamental from 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't you know that your body is the temple or the vessel of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Now, Paul, the great apostle, wrote this. Do you know who he wrote it to? He wrote it to Christians in a city called Corinth. And back in those days, if you called a girl a Corinthian, you were basically saying she was a prostitute. It was a city that was sex mad, a bit like Ireland today. Absolutely obsessed with sex. All they can see is the thrill for a couple of minutes and they don't look beyond that. So into this church, where the people in the church were going with prostitutes and all kinds of things, Paul says, guys, don't you know your very body? This thing that we live in is the temple, the vessel of the Holy Spirit in your body, in my body. And so he's trying to get the guys to see that wherever you go, if you love God, in a sense, you're bringing God with you. Because when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. That's the theological phrase. He comes and he lives in us. And how I knew I was a Christian way back in 1980, which is 45 years ago now, I knew it because before that, if I did something wrong, if I lied, if I was nasty to someone, I didn't care. But after I became a Christian, if I did something wrong or said something wrong, I would hate myself. I didn't want to do it anymore. And that's the difference. Before salvation, we don't care. But after salvation, we do care. Why? Because he's in us. And the reason you have taken time out to come to church on a bank holiday weekend, can I submit to you? He's in you. And it's important to you. So this is the New Testament. And Paul is saying, guys, you're like a vessel. You're like a temple. And the Holy Spirit is in you. And if we look back in the Old Testament, we see something very similar. A prophet in the Old Testament who started ministry at 17. If you're 17 and you think ministry is for old fellas like me, you're wrong. Hallelujah. Anyone else say amen?
Amen.
So this guy is going to buy a field and he hears the word of God. And God tells him to do something very ordinary. But he says, I want you to go and watch someone doing an everyday task, but I'm going to speak through that to you spiritually. And what happened? The word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and watch him work the clay, and I want you to hear my voice there. Every village in ancient Israel had a potter's house because everyone needed jars or pots of clay. There was no running water. You had to have them. Can I prophesy that there are people here in this hall today, and this coming week, God is going to say to you, when you go and you look at something very normal, very natural in your life, somebody changing the oil in the car, somebody washing the windows, some person driving, looking after a child, God is going to speak to you through it.
Amen.
If you have ears to hear.
Amen.
You are a spiritual people. So God will use the everyday to speak into your life and to speak into my life. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
So he goes down to the potter's house and he looks at the potter, and back then they would have worked the wheel with their foot and it would go round and round. And Jeremiah says, as I watched the potter, I saw the vessel that he was making was damaged in the potter's hand. So the potter reworked it into a better vessel as seemed good to him. So the potter is doing what he does every day of the week. He's trying to make a jar, a vessel, doesn't quite work the right way. So the potter, because it's supple and soft, he reworks it into a better vessel. And then the Spirit of God spoke to Jeremiah right there, right in that everyday place. The potter was probably bored doing his job. The dog was barking. There was a smell of cow dung from outside the door. But through it all, the Holy Spirit spoke to Jeremiah saying, can I not do to you as the potter has done to the clay, says the Lord? Do you think God can rework you? About seven people think that. If you think God can make you into a better person, would you just lift your hand? Okay, I see about 300 hands across the room. Hallelujah. You're correct. God can make you. God can make me into a better person. Just like the potter was reworking the clay. Brothers, sisters, this is Christianity. The Christian, when we become Christian, we know We've got a journey. God wants to make us into better people. Amen?
Amen.
This is our faith. This is what we believe. That God is not finished with you or with me yet. He hasn't written the last chapter in your life or my life yet. I don't care how old you are. God still has a future for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have never met anyone who was retired as a Christian. You don't retire as a Christian. In actual fact, it's the opposite. Or I don't see in the Bible where God just writes off someone because they come from a background, or they're too young, or they're too female, or they're too white, or too black, or whatever. No, no, no. He's constantly changing us, constantly using us. This is how I see Christianity. This is a photograph of my passport. I should have opened it to the photograph, but anyway, thought I'd spare ye the agony of looking on. Being a Christian is like a change of citizenship, government, or allegiance. Now, if I choose to go and live in China, I can't keep my Irish passport. Because some countries don't allow dual citizenship. So if you're from America or Germany, you can keep your American citizenship and you can have Irish citizenship. Ireland allows it, but some countries like China and quite a number of others don't. So if a Chinese person wants to come and live here and become a citizen, or I want to go and live there, you've got to give up one. You can't have both. It's a bit like that in the kingdom of God. You give up one citizenship for another citizenship. What a brilliant exchange. You give up being a citizen of the world with the pain that brings and with the very short nature of it. And you and I become citizens of heaven. And what happens when we are born again? Just as when you're born in Ireland, when my children were born here, we registered them in the registry office and they were entered into the Book of the Living. For Ireland. When we're born again, our names are recorded in heaven, the Bible says. We've got a new citizenship, hallelujah. That's why nationalism can never be too important for the Christian.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone give me a loud amen?
Amen.
Make a political point there. Praise God. Look, I am so comfortable being Irish. I will out-Irish anyone. Yeah. But I am so happy to be a citizen of heaven. That is my number one passion in my life. It's way more important than being Irish. So I have citizenship in heaven. It's a whole new thing. And when we become Christians, that's what happens. So Jeremiah saw this, and I bet you the rest of his life, every time Jeremiah saw a piece of pottery, a jar, a jug, a vessel, he would think of how God spoke to him in that way. And you and I are like that. God is reworking you and reworking me. An example, if we look in the New Testament. So, sorry, just before I go into the New Testament. So, it goes on to say there, it says, can the clay say to the potter, what have you done here? I don't need you. Will the clay, that's what he works with, actually answer back to the potter and say, I don't like what you've done. I want to be something different. I say this with respect. I say it with humility, but I say it with conviction. If someone is born male and they say to God, I want to be female, can I submit with respect? Don't hurt yourself. It's like the clay saying to the potter, I don't need this. I want to be something I was never meant to be. It never really works out. We hurt ourselves. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
We will welcome everyone here.
Hallelujah.
We treat everyone equally here.
Yes.
We do not discriminate against any minority. Hallelujah. But we will not, we will never, to the day we die, affirm a lifestyle where people hurt each other.
Amen.
hurt themselves and go against God. Because God made them male and female. I've no doubt someone is watching online now and is going to torment us and scream at us. We respect them, we treat them with dignity, but we're allowed to have our belief, just like they're allowed to have their belief.
Hallelujah.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do you think that's fair? Yeah? Yeah? Amen? It's not an accident how we were born. It's not an accident when we were born. So whatever age you are or I am, that's when God willed us to be born. It's not an accident where we were born. In fact, the Bible says before time began, God preordained exactly where we would be born, equally exactly where we would live. So who put up their hand for Irish citizenship? Someone from South Africa. Who was that? What's your name again, my love? Kulu. So Kulu, you were born in South Africa. What part?
Johannesburg.
But it was always God's will that you would live here. That was always in your future. It's just you wouldn't have known it then. You see, God has a plan for us. But that's a different thing to someone fundamentally fighting against what God has begun. It was always part of God's will for Kulu to come and live here because the geography is in God's hands. When we become a Christian, we let go of the old stuff. We are a vessel for what God wants to do in our new lives. Amen?
Amen.
If you look at the New Testament, we can read of a bigoted man. He was so bigoted. He was so prejudiced. He was evil. He was a killer. And he persecuted Christians in the city of Jerusalem. If you read into the history, it's not in the Bible, but it's in the history. He would have pulled women by their hair. And if a woman's head was uncovered in that culture, she was regarded as rubbish. And he would have pulled women by their hair, dragged them from their home, out into the street, have them arrested, and many men and women lost their lives. Why? Because he didn't believe with their faith. Nothing has changed. You can go to countries where one dominant religion in the world will do the same if you're a Christian. Years ago when ISIS took over parts of northern Iraq, all Christians, you had to convert to Islam or you were murdered. Now they were an extreme version. So this guy was like an ISIS fighter. His name then was Saul. And he was going to Damascus to kill and arrest Christians there. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus interrupted him and stopped him and made him blind. You see, God blinds people for a season sometimes. And he was blinded. And so the guys who were with him, we read in Acts 9:9, they led Saul by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and he didn't eat or drink. So this angry man, this vicious campaigner who wanted everyone to agree with his point of view. There was no submitting it and letting people make up their own mind. No. This guy was the ultimate bigot. God struck him down. And then as he was waiting for 3 long days and 3 long nights, no water, no food, can't see, God spoke to a guy called Ananias in Damascus. And the Lord said to him, go to the street called Straight, pray for a man called Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias answered, but Lord, I've heard of the evil that man has done to your people. Look at what God said back to him. The Lord replied, go. He is my chosen vessel to bring my name to kings, to Gentiles, and to the children of Israel. And so Ananias went and prayed over him. And the first thing we see is God did something wonderful and miraculous. Ananias prayed over Saul saying, Jesus has sent me here that you would get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. Now notice the order in which everything happens. Ananias is saying, this fellow is really evil. But God said, no, this vessel is going to be greatly used by me. You might say, I come from a terrible background. That's okay. God can change you.
Amen.
God can use you. God can make you better, like he's done to so many of us.
Yeah.
It's like James put up his hand for being 2 years sober. James, you go back 3 years or 4 years, some people would have looked at you and given up hope. But Jesus never gave
Hallelujah.
Up hope for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's the same for all of us. Whatever we're going through, Jesus isn't giving up on you or giving up on me. But the first thing that happened is scales fell from his eyes. This hard substance that came over his eyes, they fell. He got his sight back, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when the scales fell from his eyes, it's a clear demonstration that sometimes, brothers and sisters, we want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, but sometimes in order to be filled, we've got to be emptied. In order to see, the scales have to fall from your eyes. I've brought along an illustration. Dara, can I call you to hold this again?
Here I have a little table.
So this is my water vessel, but instead of clean water, it's actually dirty water. Who on earth would want to drink dirty water?
No.
It's going to make you sick. It's the same spiritually. If we really rebel against God's ways, we get sick spiritually. The Bible says, the rebellious against God live in a parched and dry land. If I want to be filled with good, clean water, if the water is dirty, I'm not going, how can I be filled? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we got to pour out that which is dirty in us,
Amen.
That which is not good, because until that's gone, you and I can't be filled again. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Dara. Until we are poured out. Again and again in the Bible, we read how Paul and others said, I've poured out my life like a drink offering. And we pour out our lives and we pour out that which is evil. Why? Because we want to be filled with what is good.
Amen.
He goes on. Years later, this same guy, Saul, who renamed himself Paul. That's what they did. When they became new Christians, they took on a new name. He wrote to his spiritual son, his apprentice, Timothy. And he said, in a great house there are vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honourable use, some dishonourable use. Now, most people lived in small, humble little shacks, but in every village there was a couple of big houses, great houses. They were wealthy. And those people would have vessels or jars or jugs made of gold and silver. And in them, if they had guests coming to the house, they would have the best of wine. Because people drank wine then rather than water usually, because they would get sick very often from water. So because the wine was slightly fermented, it meant they wouldn't get sick. So they would have those vessels, and in their good room they would bring them out. But in the same house, there would be vessels made of wood and clay for household waste and human waste. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, just like in a great house, there's all different kinds of vessels. But here's the solution. You can become clean and go from dishonor to honor and useful to the master for every good work. This is your promise and this is my promise. God wants to take us from being filled with rubbish, being filled with dirty water, being filled with human waste, and he wants to clean us, and he wants to use us for something far higher than what we knew before. We'll say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is our faith. This is Christianity. I love what Pastor Rick Warren, he leads a mega church in California. His writings were always great, but after his son committed suicide, his writings became even more moving and more profound. He writes this: God changes caterpillars into butterflies, sand into pearls, coal into diamonds, using time and pressure. He's working on you too. I saw the last butterfly of the season during the week, hiding in the curtains in our front room. Beautiful colours. And I thought about this and I said, imagine that was once a creepy caterpillar. And look how God changed it. We live overlooking an oyster farm right on the coast. And when the tide comes out, you can see the workers coming to clean the oysters and tend them. And every now and again, a little bit of sand will get into an oyster shell. And whatever the oyster does, it changes that. And that's where pearls, natural pearls, come from. And it's the same with coal being turned into diamonds. Botswana in southern Africa is a nation known for its diamonds. But at one time we would have had coal. The thing is, over time and with pressure, that which is ugly can become beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, I am not a patient person by nature. I pray regularly. What it says in Colossians, it says, clothe yourself with patience. And I look at my beloved wife, and she is a patient woman. She'd want to be married to me. She has such patience. But I don't want to be patient. I want to move on to the next thing. Denise would often say to me, Tom, it's about the journey. And I go, I don't want the journey. I want to get to the destination. Don't mind the journey. And so when we're driving, I'll always take shortcuts and go up lanes, won't I? Or as we call them in Ireland, boreens, to try and get there faster. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to be patient and let God change you. And I need to let God change me. And pressure. None of us like pressure. None of us like the stress of pressure. But God will use that for the good, for those who love him, and change us into better people. Let me make one final point. And that is, we saw how the piece of pottery was reworked into a better vessel. We saw how Saul became Paul, a murderer, into someone who became a great Christian, who brought life instead of death. How vessels in the houses of the New Testament went from dishonor to honor. But it can go the other way as well. And I want to, I suppose, just issue a difficult word. And it's a warning. And it's a warning that you and I can so easily go the other way as well. There but for the grace of God, go you or go I. So there's a guy in the New Testament, and he's only mentioned three times, just very briefly. But this great apostle Paul mentions him first in Colossians 4:14. He's writing to the church. Paul is in prison. It's his first time there, and he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, send you their greetings too. So two heroes of the Christian faith, two legends, Paul the great apostle and Luke the physician, the doctor. He wrote the book of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. These guys were legends. And right in the middle of them is this guy called Demas. He's working for the Lord. He's helping the guys. He's visiting Paul in prison. And he's doing so well that Paul mentions him, talking about mentioned in dispatches. He mentions him in the letter. But you look about 4, maybe at the most 5 years later, second time Paul was in prison, he remembers Demas. And he said to Timothy, his spiritual son, Demas has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica because he loves this present world. Do you think it was a woman? What do you think?
Shopping.
I don't think it was shopping. Whatever it was, he loved the things of time more than he loved God. So in the space of 4 or 5 years, this guy goes from being almost a legend in the Christian church to totally falling away from God. totally falling away from ministry. I speak prophetically and I plead with some people here. Don't be that guy. Don't be a Demas. We poured out the dirty to be filled with the clean. Don't pour out the clean to be filled with the dirty. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
Who in their right mind would drink dirty water? Nobody would. Because we know we get sick from it. Where is your well? What are you and I drinking from? If we're drinking from a poisoned well, we will get poisoned. If we're listening to the current fashion out there, this is really cool today. Yeah, but it wasn't cool yesterday and it won't be cool tomorrow. The world is fickle. Fashions change. You go back 50 years, a man in his 50s could marry a girl of 14. Nobody blinked. It was horrific. But if you were gay back then, straight away you were in prison. And now it's gone totally the opposite way. I'm not promoting anything. What I am saying is, don't trust the world. Yeah. It keeps changing and it keeps turning over. And they don't know what they believe because they believe one thing today and the next thing tomorrow. For thousands and thousands of years, your ancestors, everyone here, your ancestors believed in God's word in one way or the other. They believed what the Bible said because it can be trusted. It's God's love letter to you and me. So they trusted that. Have your feet on the rock of the word of God. Don't have your feet on shifting sand with whatever the world, whatever the fad is today. It'll come and it'll go. And you will become an orphan of whatever it is you believe out there. Believe in God. He will never change. Hallelujah. He will never let you down. We declared it earlier. Let's not drink the dirty water. You know what? The Bible says this. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to be filled with. But some of us need to empty. And let's not have an us and them. Everyone here has dirty water. Can you say amen? We all mess up. Maybe some people do it in a public way. And the people who do it in a private way will go, I would never do that. All right? Yeah, but you're doing it in private. It's underground. No one sees it. Let's have no hypocrisy here. Amen? We are all broken. Can I get a louder amen? Everyone here is broken. We need the potter, the Lord, to rework us. And some of us have baggage and we got to let it go. And this is a place that welcomes everyone. This is a place that will help everyone. But we will never affirm anyone who is lying, who is stealing, who is cheating. I can go on and on. We are here to promote how God says we should live. Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, I want us to pray. Could the band come up? That we would be filled with the Holy Spirit today.
Amen.
Someone said to me about a year ago, we were praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and they said, but you know, by tonight, you know, the strength I feel now could be gone. I said, that's okay. God will fill you again tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't close up the shop. He's not 9 to 5. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is always open for you
Amen.
And for me. Could we stand, brothers and sisters? The clocks went back last night. We're in a new season. God is saying, just as in the natural, we are in a new season. Spiritually, some of us are in a new season. And God is saying, here's an opportunity, in total privacy in a moment, to pour out that which is not good. And we'll do it in privacy. And then to ask God to fill us with what is good. But we're going to sing a beautiful song called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. And the here is you, your body, your mind, your soul, and my body, my mind, my soul. Let's sing it and then we pray, Michael.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is up.
Stage, let's close our eyes and give people privacy, including the ushers. Let's close our eyes. If you know in your life, honestly, this is an opportunity for you to say, God, I am going to pour out the water that is not clean in my life. Maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's anger, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's selfishness, I don't know, God knows. In 100% privacy, all I can see are shadows, but I need to know that I'm not just speaking into the ceiling, that people here really are responding. So in total privacy, with everyone's eyes closed, can I ask you to slip up a hand and then take it down again? See your hand. See yours, yours, yours. Yours. Yeah. See loads of hands going up all over the hall. Wow. I respect your humility and your honesty in putting up your hand. I'm going to ask that we all pray together, even those who may not need it today. But are you okay? Would you just hold your hands open before the Lord? You can lift them up and just hold them before you. I'm going to ask that everyone prays this prayer after me. Even if you don't need it today, pray in solidarity with the, must have been about 150 people put up their hands. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
forgive me my sin.
Forgive me my sin.
I pour out my wrong attitude,
my
unforgiveness,
my anger,
my bitterness, the things I shouldn't do,
the things I should do.
Forgive me, Lord,
and help me
as I pour out my sin and become empty. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go further on the Holy Spirit filling thing, because this is so fundamental to who a Christian is. Every Christian needs to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you may already feel that, but if I'm any judge of human nature and judge of myself, sometimes we leak. Some of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh, here and now. I'm one of them. Maybe you are that person as well. Would you put up your hand if that's you? That's it. We just want to be filled again. I'm going to ask you, would you mind coming to the top? And if it's crowded up here, just stand in the aisles. As Michael and the band sing the song again, let's vote with our feet and tell our bodies and our minds. We're serious about this prayer.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come from this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Come from this place and fill the atmosphere.
high as you can. You're telling the Lord, I mean business. Heavenly Father, some have emptied out that which wasn't good in them. More were already empty. But together, as your people, we are calling on you now. Fill me, Holy Spirit. They're the three words or four words I want you to say. And I want you to say them out loud and own the prayer, because he's listening. He's watching. So at the count of three, we're going to call out together, fill me, Holy Spirit. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Amen. One, two, three.
Fill me, Holy Spirit.
Let's do it with a bit more passion. One, two, three.
Fill me, Holy Spirit.
One more time, just in case the devil didn't hear you.
Fill me, Holy Spirit.
We pray you would move in power. Your unction, your anointing would come upon your sons and your daughters, and that they would know something powerful and wonderful has begun to happen in their lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Sinead, the Lord would say, he is filling the baby in your womb with his Holy Spirit. The Lord would say, the calling of God on this child's life is like Elizabeth had with John the Baptist in her womb. And so the Lord is saying, set your heart on this, because the child of you and Lewis is going to be called to do a wonderful work in his generation. And the Lord is saying, as his mum and his dad pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, this child is also being filled. I declare this over you in Jesus' mighty name. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that Jesus? Jesus, can you come forward? Praise God. This is what the Lord would say to you. Just lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Shurubukana shikaba upakurushtubuddala. I saw two different machine guns that were aimed at you. Two weapons that were aimed at you to take you down. And this is the promise of God in your life, Jesus. That what the enemy intends for evil, God is going to turn it to the good. Because the Lord is going to silence the weapon. He is going to turn the attack that was planned for your life, and he's going to destroy it here and now. And the Lord would say to you, you may not know about it, but I have seen this coming. And the Lord wants you to realize that the attack that was meant to destroy you will never happen, because God has his hand on you, and the future for you is in the presence of God, and the enemy will never succeed. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have this vision, and I've had it all morning, of two houses together, semi-detached, with the wall down the middle. And it's speaking into, I don't know, is it friends, a marriage, a family relationship? But God is saying, there's a wall. And I saw the Lord with a sledgehammer knocking a hole through the wall and bringing a door to connect what was once two into one. And I know I'm called to pray here today for relationships of whatever kind they are. And God is saying, there's a wall, and I'm going to break down the wall. You know there's a wall. Maybe you're part of the wall, or maybe the other person is. There's no judgment here, but God is saying, you have to say to him, Lord, break down the wall. And if any of that is me, break it down in me. So I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes one last time. And if that's you in a marriage or in a family or in a friendship, and you know the wall has to come down, you welcome the sledgehammer to break that wall down. I want you to just acknowledge it in total privacy by lifting up a hand. Just for a moment, I see your hands. Whoa. Okay, praise God. You can take your hands down again, guys. In the name of Jesus, we welcome the sledgehammer. Can you say amen? Lord, we pray, break the wall down in that relationship. Help us, Lord, to be the people who are ready at the door to welcome the other person. Prepare our hearts now, Lord, and let what is two become like one. Come, Holy Spirit, and break down the walls in Jesus' mighty name. Who's going to say amen?
Amen.
One last word I have. This is Halloween, as Michael was saying. It's a time when witchcraft and the occult, Satanism, all of that is at its height. And God is saying, some of us are here and we come from families where this was practiced. And I believe this is a foretaste of what's coming Friday night. God is saying, we're going to begin the prayer today, that any shadow over your soul from your parents, your grandparents, whatever it was, maybe it was you, who was involved in the occult, we're going to start piercing that darkness and pray against that shadow here today. If that's you, and you have to have courage for this, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Okay. Can I ask those who don't have a hand lifted up to go back to their seats? I want the guys who lift up their hands to stay here. If you put up your hand down there, I'm going to invite you forward, because we're going to pray here tonight. And by the grace of God, if you can make it Friday night, we'll continue the prayer. Can you come forward just up here? Those of you who put up your hands. Praise God. Just come up here, guys. Come in here. Hallelujah. Denise, Elma, Dara, Maciek, could we just lay hands on these guys? Can I ask those of you in the congregation, just point a hand forward to our brothers and sisters here. If you had a mother who was a witch, it's foolish to think it doesn't have an impact on you. If you had a grandfather who did curses, it impacts us. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ shatters the power and sets us free and sets our children free. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
So Heavenly Father, over each life here, as we lay hands on them, we pray the beginning of a deliverance from every shadow of the evil one, every shadow of the occult, any curse on these lives, any evil that was done by parents, by grandparents, by aunts or uncles, we declare the curse stops here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We declare the shadow is being pushed back, and we pray the light would pierce the darkness in each of these lives, in their lives, in the lives of their children and their children's children. So we ask you, God, that you would set your people free totally from every shadow of the evil one that would try and steal their destiny and their future. Begin something powerful here today, Lord, and let it continue all this week. We make a mockery of the power of darkness in these lives, and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. How about everyone in the hall? At the count of three, including the guys up here, we'll make a declaration, and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know who we say it to? We say it to Satan. We say it to the demons. We say it to one another and ourselves. And we say it to Jesus Christ, and he sees we means it. Are we up for it? About five people are up for it. Anyone else? We're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, all together. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
And again.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
And I want to do one more time. I want you to put a hand on your heart and another one on your head. declare it into your own mind, into your own heart. You are a vessel. Let's declare it at the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus Christ.